We direct your attention to the reading of Isaiah 12, the 12th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. And thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's in God's providence that we may celebrate the Lord's Supper again this morning together. In the Lord's Supper, we celebrate our participation in our in the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ that he has prepared for us. Last week we listened to the Lord's own invitation to the waters. If any man thirst, let him come to the water to me and drink. He spoke those words as we have commemorated at that time at the Feast of Tabernacles. And we saw that he directed all the attention to himself as the one who can only satisfy us. At that feast, and we pray that he would so do this morning again, that we might have all our attention on him. At that Feast of Tabernacle, there was much religious joy as they recited this text, which is part of our text this morning, Isaiah 12. Therefore, verse 3, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. This morning we pray that the Lord would make us join that celebration, and that we might truly drink and be refreshed and satisfied in spirit and in truth. That's what we long for. May we then have the right focus when we look away from ourselves, when we look to our only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we celebrate his precious salvation, not only in word this morning, but also in sacrament. Our theme for this morning is salvation celebrated. First of all, through personal testimony, then through joyful drawing, and thirdly, through public declaration. Salvation celebrated through personal testimony. Salvation is very personal, and it's comforting. Read with me in verse 1 of our text. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Every child of God this morning who comes to the table knows something of this very reality. The Lord's anger over his sin, over personal sins. And perhaps, and I hope, that you have experienced something of also of fatherly chastisement as we're called this week to repent. That we have felt something of fatherly displeasure over our sins this week. When we are called to repent deeply, except ye repent, we heard Wednesday night. That we have repented and come to the Lord Jesus as we repented from all our self-righteousness, we can bring nothing. We have nothing. We're sinful. We are weak. We are dependent. That we have repented of our self-importance, that we put ourselves in between of God, the Holy One, and ourselves. That we make ourselves more important than God Himself. That we have repented of all our fruitlessness this week. And that we then, as we have experienced something of that fatherly displeasure and came with repentance, and saw also maybe a little bit of what it says here, thou wast angry with me, but thy anger is turned away. That we see that afresh, that it is a reality for us. That anger needs a solution, doesn't it? And that need, that solution comes only from God. And so we have cried out, if we have come in true repentance, Lord, I need thee. And may we come also this morning to that one place from which our help comes, from the Lord alone, who for the wrath of over my sins, I have experienced that He was my enemy. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not prepared your heart this coming Lord's Day, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you are not drinking and not looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, that anger, that wrath is still upon you. That is still upon you. If you haven't come to repentance and haven't come and listened to that invitation, fleeing by the power of the Spirit, pleading for the power of the Spirit to the Lord Himself, we have never experienced that God has taken the wrath of our sins away. I urge you to stay away from the table. For then we miss everything that we need. But the most astonishing thing there is in salvation, that God was my enemy, and He has made peace in the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my former enemy. And that's why our text says, O Lord, I will praise Thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. It's turned away, and thou comfortest me. Every believer has experienced something also of what Isaiah experienced in chapter 6 during his temple vision. When he saw the Lord sitting upon His throne, when he saw the cherubims saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. He was suddenly acutely aware of his own sins. I'm a man of unclean lips. Woe to me. But through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, through His cross, that anger now is turned away. That anger is turned away so that a believer can say with our text personally, I will praise Thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away and thou comfortest me. Do you see this morning how personal salvation is? And therefore also how personal our testimony ought to be. Everyone who participates in the Lord's Supper this morning personally testifies this. Anger, but now solved. How? In the Lord Jesus Christ, who had this broken relationship when He was crucified, when He received that anger from His Father that we so deserved, that Lord of glory that was crucified. And therefore we say with our text, O Lord, I praise Thee. In Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, who knew no sin, but was made sin for us, the Lord turned away His anger. There He punished my sin. In Christ, Therefore, he can indeed comfort us. Comfort me. How? The anger so rightly deserved is now turned away and turned toward his beloved Son on the cross. And let us meditate on that. Let it sink in for a moment. The anger of God that was due to me and to my punishment on his beloved Son. The eternal wrath of God poured upon his Son with whom he was closed from eternity, compressed in a few hours. The intense agony suffered the wrath of God over my sin. That was the only solution for my sin, for the wrath of God. And therefore, it should deeply humble us all as we come again and look away to our crucified Savior. But at the same time, it should lift us up to praise God's salvation this morning. Where he called, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." What words are these? "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani" grieves mysteries. O Christ, forsaken in thy time of need, thy deepest hour of agony, we plead. "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," deep echoed woe. "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," oh, who can know, or who the depth of anguish can divine, that broken heart, that thrilling cry of thine. "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," oh, bleeding lamb. "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," redeemed I am. Thy wounded soul from light and joy shut in is bearing there the bitter curse of sin. "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," my soul is free. "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," love's victory forsaken thou that I might never cry. "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." And so, dear child of God, that's our hope. That's our comfort. He forsaken for me. He cursed for me. When we were enemies, he reconciled us to God by the death of his Son. Anger for Christ, no comfort for him, forsakenness for him. That's the price he paid for my sin. And so we as believers know, can say, "Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." Isaiah comes back on that comfort in chapter 14 when he says, comfort ye my people, saith our God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned. She has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Christ accomplished the warfare against our sin, and therefore our iniquity is pardoned, child of God. What do we receive out of the hand of the Lord? What do we receive when we hold our hands, as it were, in the Lord's Supper? We receive double for all our sins, in the sense that it's more than enough. More than enough. The wrath of God is satisfied. The Lord can say, and we can say with him, enough, because Christ has paid all. I've received from the Lord more than enough for my sins. It's the perfect sacrifice of Christ. Isn't that a reason to praise? Isn't that a reason to praise? Isn't that a reason for thanksgiving, celebrating God's salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what He created us for, and that's what He recreates us for. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. And so we read in verse 2 of our text, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He is also become my salvation. Do you hear that? Can you say that this morning? God is my salvation. God in Jesus Christ, His Son, my salvation. Isaiah saw something of that when he received that prophecy of Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah saw something of that when he wrote about Isaiah 53, that suffering servant who bore the sins of many. We see him even more clearly. As we see him even more clearly than Isaiah saw him, while we stand after his sacrifice on the cross, and we know that he's risen and seated at the right hand of God, when we see Christ even more clearly now, what greater reason we have to celebrate this morning and trust in his salvation. And repeat, God is become my salvation. If we know something about that wrath that is turned away from my sins, He's my personal Savior. He saved me. And so we can say also with our text, can't we? If we truly trust, I will trust in Him. See, our direction is always God. I will trust in Him. And what does that do in our lives? And not be afraid. Maybe some of us here this morning are afraid to partake of the Lord's Supper. Maybe there has been a week of turmoil behind you this week. But if you know something of this salvation in your life, if you know something of that wrath that is turned away so graciously in the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you this morning, why should you be afraid? In Christ is the safest place on earth. If God is for us, who can be against us? Rather say with our text in celebration, I will trust in Him and not be afraid. Well, if you have not experienced that the wrath of God is turned away and abides on you still, you have reason to be afraid this morning. You have good reason to be afraid. You have reason to stay away from this, stay in your seat. But if you trust in this sacrifice, in Christ's sacrifice, and God is your only hope and salvation, if you can testify about that, then come. And testify to it this morning. Meditate on these words. I will trust in Him. In Him alone. His sacrifice. His perfect life. And I will not be afraid. Believers, too often we are afraid. Too often we think that God is still angry with us. And therefore we are afraid. But nothing is further from the truth. As we trust in the Lord, and as we trust in His complete sacrifice, He is not angry with us anymore. And we have good reason to say, I will trust Him and will not be afraid. This does not mean that repentance is not anything for Christians anymore. But we repent. And while we repent, we repent of the fact that we don't thirst for Him. We repent that we don't trust Him. We repent of the fact that we do not look to Him as much as we should. And as we repent, our vision of God is renewed and we can say, I'm not afraid. I see His sacrifice is perfect and enough and sufficient and overflowing for me, the greatest of sinners. So true Christians really trust in Him and are not afraid. And here's the reason why we should not be afraid. Look at who the Lord is in our text. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and song. He's also become our salvation, my salvation, brother. The Lord Jehovah is my strength. Literally, He is my protection. It's a fortress. A mighty fortress is our God, in which the righteous run, as it were, and hide themselves from that wrath. So we hide from the wrath of God in God Himself, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our hiding place. And there, safe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't need to fear. We are safe. We are sheltered. He is our salvation. He is our strength, our fortress. He protects us from all our enemies. What are your enemies this morning? Are your enemies Satan accusing you? Are your enemies this morning your sin rising up against you? Are your enemies this morning the world? Flee to Christ. Go to Him. He's your strength. And there in Him, you will be able to sing. He is also your song. You can say, He's become my salvation. This morning, at the table, the Lord shows us so clearly, isn't it, that He is our strength and our song. This morning, He wants to see that, show that to us. When we receive the bread, that He is our only source of strength, that we can fully trust Him because of the work of Christ. When we see that Christ is broken for us, so that He then might become part of us. When we say He is our strength, we confess immediately, that we are weak, helpless, sinful, without strength, needy. Just as bread strengthens, so the sacrifice of Christ strengthens us against our enemies, sin, death, hell, Satan, the world. And it directs our attention to Christ, our strength. He's not only our strength, isn't He? He's also our song. When we think of the cup and our joy, when we think that we, with thanksgiving, will lift up the cup of thanksgiving, He's our joy in the wine, where He shows that He has poured out His precious lifeblood for us so that He can give us true joy, reason to sing. We don't have joy from ourselves. It comes from Him. And the wine directs us again to Christ alone, our joy. His blood poured out for our sins so that He can be our true joy. When we are saved, we have truly reason to rejoice and sing. And our songs are for His glory. He has redeemed us. He has become my salvation. And we sing of Him, of His greatness and His glory. And we sing of His sacrifice. And we sing to Him. Because of Him and to Him are all things. All glory belongs to Him. Now in Christ, He has become our salvation, our joy. We look at that briefly also in our second thought. Salvation celebrated through joyful drawing. Our text continues in verse 3, where it shows that the salvation needs to be celebrated through joyful and personal drawing from the wells of salvation. Our text says, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. So in Christ, God has supplied an overflowing well of salvation. Wells keep adding water. Keep bubbling up fresh water. When we see that, when we see that with the eye of faith, when we are called to come again afresh this morning to the fountainhead of all blessings, we are refreshed, and we are going to be refreshed. Last Sunday, we heard these beautiful words, and I repeat them again. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. The waters are free because they went over Christ's head. All the waves and billows of God's wrath have gone over him. And therefore, our text says, therefore, I will draw with joy, draw water out of the wells of salvation. It's outside of us. We come to that well of salvation. In him, God's anger is turned away. In him, God has become my Savior. Him, I can fully trust. When that really penetrates our hearts, that the wrath of God is taken away forever, and it really grips us through the power of the Spirit, then we can come and draw waters from this eternal fountain, springing up to eternal life. This is not a shallow, outward kind of joy, which is often in our circumstances. As I feel it, or if our circumstances are right, then I can be joyful. No, no. This is joy about God's eternal, steadfast, unwavering salvation. It's solid. But we truly understand this by faith. Fears will go, have to go. And we come with joy. With joy. Too often we struggle to find joy in our salvation, isn't it? Why? Because often we are not laboring to embrace the fullness of what Christ has done in our salvation. Just a shallow glimpse of it. Just a little sip, maybe. And then we think we can go. Too often we fear and are joyless because we think that God is angry with us. Well, if we trust in Christ, it's completely gone. And our trust, therefore, is wavering and incomplete. Too often we fear and lack this joy because sin of self-righteousness comes and stands in between again. And we don't understand often, and or we are blinded for it, that we have to come with our empty bucket to draw from this well of salvation. An empty bucket. And that he needs to fill it, and not we. Too often we fear because we want to maintain that we are so important in salvation, rather than exalt in God's work alone. How liberating if we really can say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Present tense, right now. Crucified. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Lives in me. The life which I now live, and here you need to come with your empty bucket again. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith or faithfulness, his faithfulness, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Are you holding your empty bucket this morning? You see, the more we die to ourselves in repentance and faith, the more Jesus Christ can fill us with hope, with salvation, with true joy. Then we can truly celebrate the Lord's Supper when we come this morning drinking from the well of salvation, from the wounds of our Savior. When we experience afresh that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from the Emmanuel's vein, sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, though vile as he, empty bucket, washed all my sins away. Ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme. And that will be till I die. See the picture that a commentator drew from this text, and I think very appropriately, is this. Who come to this well of salvation? Well, if you go to a normal well, in those days, the thirsty people came. The weary people came to be refreshed. And the dirty people came to this well. And they come and pull a bucket after bucket and after bucket. And there's an endless supply to it. And they drink deeply. And they pour it over their heads. And they dunk their faces into it, as it were. And they splash it on one to another. That's the picture. It's well of salvation. We drink and we are refreshed when we drink deeply. It's well of salvation. We are cleansing ourselves. We pour the water over our heads when we desire by the Spirit to be clean. Lord, I need to be clean. Cleanse me from my sin. When we share that water, when we splash that water, as it were, on others, no, He saves us. But we share the gospel with them of free grace. Isn't that what we also celebrate when we come to the Lord's Supper too? He refreshes me. We come to Christ as longing as a deer for the water brooks. Our soul longs and pants for the living God. As we eat and drink and believe that Christ is our only satisfaction. Oh, that we might be refreshed this morning again. As we remember in the supper that God's grace and salvation cleanses me. The blood pictured in the wine. When I see the blood, He said once, at the Passover, I will pass over you. I will turn away my wrath. Oh, that we would be assured of that this morning again. God's salvation is to be shared. It's pictured in the cup when we share it. Common of salvation. We all trust in that one mediator to which we come to fill our empty cup. And we rise from the table that we might share that good news with others again. Dear believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, earthly fountains get dry very quickly. But this well of salvation continues to bubble up fresh water, fresh experiences of God's grace to us. And we may come with joy to drink, to be cleansed, to be strengthened, to share the gospel with others again. This fountain will never, never dry up. Why? God the Father from eternally ordained this salvation. And God the Son in time came and suffered and died. And God the Spirit comes, is sent to apply it. The eternal, the infinite, the unchangeable triune God is behind this salvation. Therefore, cannot fail. It will continue to flow. Yes, the living waters are life-giving and overflowing waters that will never dry up. Ezekiel spoke about a river of living water. Where does it come from? Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, that's the temple that he saw. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house. It comes where God's presence and that God's glory dwell. There comes the water from. And what does it do? He sees it increasing and increasing, and it flows into the Dead Sea of humanity. And the Dead Sea of humanity is transformed in the glorious Garden of Eden with fruitfulness. And there are even fishes there to fish from the Dead Sea. See, that's what it should do with us. We want to share the good news again. But also, when we think about that living water, that river that flows, where does it come from? John, he saw it differently in Revelation 21, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Where did this come from? Proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Of the Lamb. Our Lamb. Our spotless Lamb. Flowing. Perfect. Crystal clear. That's true spiritual enjoyment. Because His work is crystal clear. It's perfect. From God's very own presence comes this salvation. And He reigns in our heart when He gives us assurance of life and faith, eternal life in His presence. Can we then be silent about that? Can we then be silent about that? When Jesus spoke about the rivers of living water, we saw something of it last week. Didn't have much time for it, but when we drink from it, what does it do? I repeat it again. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Life-giving waters flowing to others. And it will make life. And God can make dead seas like the river or like the Garden of Eden again, flourishing, fruitful for himself. God's salvation needs to be streaming. Finally, in public declaration, very briefly, very shortly, because the rest we will consider tonight. Salvation celebrated, thirdly, through public declaration. Look at our text to see what happens. Verse 4. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. So what happens when we draw from that eternal overflowing well of salvation? We will flow over. That's what we see here in our text. Our text says, praise the Lord. In verse 1 it says still, I will praise the Lord. It was personal. But now, praise the Lord. He calls others to praise. Others who are redeemed by this grace, praise the Lord. Join with me to praise the Lord. That's what we say in the Lord's Supper. Join with me to praise the Lord. Call upon his name, it says there in our text. In other words, we say, call, cry out to him. He is the only Savior. He is available. Pray to him. He hears our prayers. What else? Declare his doings, his deeds among the people. In other words, speak about that salvation, confessing. Point to that perfect sacrifice. Point to that perfect life. Make mention that his name is exalted. He is the highest, is highest in character, in rank, and in praise. To him belongs all praise. He has done excellent things, it says, majestic things in Christ Jesus, the only Savior of God's people. And then it says, this is known in all the earth. But more literally, we should translate it like this, cause this to be known or acknowledged by all the earth. Let's not be silent. Let's speak about it. Child of God, let's confess him this morning at the table. Let's confess that he is alone our source of spiritual life and true joy. And then finally it says, cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. God is present among his people in the midst of thee. That we would see his presence this morning when we break the bread together. That this may be our experience this morning. That when we are assured that God's personal wrath over our sins is turned away, when we have an interest in the Savior, that we would come and joyfully draw from from the wells of salvation, and that our drawing of those wells, that we would begin to declare and proclaim Christ's death publicly, also in the Lord's Supper, but also in speaking to others. Yes, that it would overflow freely. And we may experience what our text says here, that the Holy One of Israel is in our midst, and that He is greatly exalted. May the Lord fulfill all of our longings for Him this morning. Amen.